This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boomer Geo coming to you live with the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And the Phil Simms Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. All right, Eddie, if you could just lower the music just a little bit here. Phil, you're going to hear a sound. You have to tell me. You have to tell me what that sound is. All right. You ready?
Okay. Ready? Hold on. Let me hear. Okay. Go.
Ready?
Well, I know it's not a pair of dice. It's balance of nature. Then I know how you act, and just by the sound, which I've done this before, that is the fruit.
Yeah.
Right?
Look at this.
Okay.
He's dead right about it. Balance of Nature fruit. Good job there, Phil. He knows his product, man.
I've done this about 10 times where they shake them at me, and I got to do it. They do make a different sound. So
wow. Oh, my gosh. Is right.
And then my TV, of course, it's unbelievable. My TV's not working, but I did have the sound today. Listen a little bit. First off, Gio, I got a big box of Balance of Nature yesterday, so quit moaning and crying in there that I haven't sent it to you yet.
Okay.
Send me your address, and I'll get it in the mail here no later than tomorrow, and you'll have it, and then we'll see how it goes.
All right. Actually, perfect. Don't worry about it, because they sent me a big box, too, so I have, they actually sent me a separate box for Gio.
Okay, very good.
I have his. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow. I meant to bring it in today, but I forgot.
Okay, well, I got some other things to talk about real quick before we get started. I know there's a lot, and I'll be quick. Boomer.
Yes.
Did I hear right that you won your own golf tournament?
Yes.
Oh, you know, that is just not, that's not right. Hit one in the water. Don't do anything. Don't win your own tournament.
No. Now, listen to me. First of all, I pay for myself to play in the tournament, and I bring three guests that are, and I play a two-man best ball, and I've only come in third because the partner that I normally play with is busy on the Trump transition team. So I brought a former Islander, Cal Clutterbuck, to play with, who's a great golfer, and he deserves to win, too. You know, like if he plays well, he deserves to be able to share in the winnings, and we both happen to play really well together.
Okay. All right.
All right. I mean, so shut up and don't tell me what to do with my own golf tournament.
Hey, man, listen, I played in all those outings, too, when I was – and look, I was not going to stand up in front of the crowd and go, oh, I won. Oh, I'm a jerk. I mean, this is terrible.
Did I do that? You did not. No, but
– No, I'm just saying. I always told my partners, look, we're not going to win. I'm not going to go up there and then get some prize or whatever in front of everybody because we won this, and that's just me. But so, okay, Boomer, good
to
you.
I just wanted the Obelisk trophy that has Gunnar etched on it. That's what I really wanted.
Okay.
So that's what I got.
All right, well, there you go.
Okay.
That's a different thing. So I'll backtrack everything I said, and you did the right thing.
Okay. All right, Phil. So yesterday Rob Salah gets fired. So let's hear your reaction to it.
My reaction, I was actually in the middle of an interview yesterday, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Rob Salah's got fired. I went, what? You know, the interviewer, I guess, saw it on TV, and we broke into it. I was surprised. I mean, were any of you, I didn't get to hear a lot, you had to be completely surprised by this move, or weren't you?
Well, I was. Boomer was not. I think maybe the timing was a little bit earlier, but Boomer really felt like there was a chance if things got bad, and I guess this is pretty bad.
Yeah, listen, I know their expectations are great, so their patience is not much. I do understand that. They've done all this to make this team into a championship team. They gave everything to the quarterback. They made many, give him whatever he needs or trying to make this work. So I guess they felt the urgency to do it. I would just say this. I don't know Robert Saleh's coaching style. I see it on TV. I've watched him in practice. He's a nice guy. You know, this, that. But what is he inside the meeting rooms with the team? What's he saying? I don't know. But I know this, when they hired Jeff Ulbrich, he's kind of the opposite of Robert Saleh. So they got a guy who might be yelling at players during the game and hold them more accountable. I don't know if he holds them accountable, Rob Saleh, in the meeting rooms. I don't know that. But I think Jeff Ulbrich will. And you've even heard players say we need to be held accountable. I just, you know, I can't believe, Boomer, did your team, did you ever have a team you went, guys were going around, you know, we need to be held accountable here. I mean, did you ever have that once in any part of your career?
I've said it. I've said it a number of times, but then again, I didn't stay with one organization like you did. I mean, I jumped around a little bit. I had different coaches that I didn't really respect, and this was one of the discussion points we were having over the last couple of weeks, whether or not there was the respect that is needed from the quarterback to the head coach. I don't know if that's the case or not, but here's the one pointed question I want to ask you, and I know when we used to meet on Sundays, you know, after you watch all the tapes and you watch things and you watch the way offenses are played, you always love Ben Johnson, you love Bobby Slowick, you love Mike Shanahan, you love Sean McVay, all these offensive coordinators, Kevin O'Connell up in Minnesota, that you've mentioned time and time again on this show, how creative they are, how many open throws there are, how prepared they are on offense. So here's my very pointed question to you. Out of the 32 offensive coordinators in this league, where does Nathaniel Hackett fall on your list?
Well, you know, I know that Nathaniel Hackett, I respect what he does. Of course, we know it's tough. His father was a, you know, do everything for the players.
Hold on, Kamala. But hold on for a second. I know you grew up in a normal red-blooded.
Can I finish my damn answer?
I want a real ad. Just tell me where. 1 through 32. Where?
It's really, what do you want me to say? What number? I don't know. It's down at the bottom for what they do. And we saw this when he was in Denver. But he gets the job here in New York because we all know that, because of Aaron Rodgers and what they want to do. So the offense, there's not even a question when you watch it, and we watch it this year. I'm just going to say, it might be the worst offense I've watched all year long.
Okay, good. All right, so let me ask you this question now. All those other offensive coordinators and teams that I've been talking about have creativity. We see guys moving all over the place. We see a lot of different things. You know Aaron probably better than I do after covering him all these different years. I mean, I don't know if there was something going on between him and Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay because Matt wanted to do more things and Aaron said no and pushed back. Is it Aaron that wants to run the offense the way they're running it, where it's all back shoulder throws? Or
yes.
All right, so
yes.
There's no creativity, am I right?
Right. The less movement. Yeah, there's none. Listen, everybody's on to what they do. Everybody talks about the Jet offense, and they explain it perfectly. I mean, it doesn't matter what station I turn it on. Well, you know, they like to sit there, no movement, so Aaron can see it and then make the decision. Well, what do you think the defensive coordinators are saying every game they play? Here's what they do. We know this. Great example is this. They're playing Minnesota. Minnesota has all that stuff going on their side of the football, and it's all really good stuff, and it's exciting to watch. Van Ginkel's interception for the touchdown, that came strictly from one thing. We know what they're going to do. We're going to blitz. He's going to throw a slant pattern inside. He pulls out, intercepts it, goes for a touchdown. To me, that said it all. They knew. And, you know, you're the Jets. Now, everybody is blitzing you and having success. So what the hell do you think the teams coming up are going to do? Now they watch the films and go, man, the Jets, the free runners, they're not handling this. So they don't really have many route combinations. There's no deception, no movement, very few play actions, which I could get into is another world also. Mm-hmm. But that's a big problem. So this is the offense that Aaron Rodgers wants. And it's not explosive. It's not creative enough. Listen, there's four teams that actually move around less than the Jets. Three of those teams have one thing in common. They all have rookie quarterbacks. Mm. Okay, we understand that. So there's only one other team. I think it's the Cleveland Browns, if it's off the top of my head. But there you go, and then there's the Jets. So I don't care what you say, and you know, and Gio, everybody knows this about football. The more you move and shift on offense, what do you do to the defense? Mm-hmm. They're sitting over there going, check, do this, oh, You're trying to confuse them just a little to do what? To slow them down, so, you know, to help your offense because you're making them think a lot.
Create indecision. And you're trying to create indecision on that side of the
doubt.
Ball.
No doubt. And it's they got to, you know, shift their front. You know, linebackers do this. Oh, drop into a different coverage. And then you know what? If you do that and they do that on defensive side, you got to sit there as a quarterback and go, we got them. So let me just say this. I don't know Robert Saleh, how he coached teams, but I know this. When my head coach walked into our room for a meeting, there was something to it. I just go, oh, wow, this is the head coach, and I'm going to keep my ass quiet and listen and do whatever because that's what they demanded. And we had that with Bill Parcells. But I'll never forget when Dan Reeves walked into our meeting room for the first time to meet the team. He walks in, puts his pad down on the lectern in front of him, and he says, everybody, sit up straight, put your feet on the floor, and take those damn hats off. And I swear to you, not exaggerating, I turned to Bart Oates quietly and went, we're going to win. And I drove home. My wife says to me in my front yard, she goes, well, how was it? I said, Diana, we're going to win. This is the man. He's going to change our football team, even though we were not projected to be anything good. But the fact that he really managed the team and held everybody accountable every day for everything worked great for us. So that's kind of what I've always expected and want from a head coach.
On behalf of Phil Simms and me, I think we both agree that the creativity is not there. Now, here's the other story that came out of this, and that was the fact that maybe Rob Saleh was thinking about taking the play calling away from Nathaniel Hackett and giving it to Todd Downing. And the other aspect of that would mean that maybe the head coach was right. Maybe the head coach looks like at his offense and goes, they're unprepared. They're too easy to defend against. I need somebody else to come in here and create an offense that is going to give us a chance to actually score points as opposed to kowtowing to a 40-year-old quarterback who's making mistakes.
Well, Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator and successful and really good at it. So he's sitting there as a defensive coordinator still in his mind. He's looking at the Jet offense going, wow, I think I'd like to play against this or coach against this offense if I'm a D coordinator. So he had to look at it, and I can't believe he didn't, you know, and we got to blame him too. You could have made some changes, and, you know, you are the head coach. You get to determine. You can tell the coordinator, look, this is what we need to do more of, or we got to change this to help our football team. I mean, listen, you go back to that game in Minnesota when they played Minnesota over in London. The game is there to be had big time. The defense of the Jets was all over Minnesota. Once they got the hang of it, they had it. And Gio, Kevin O'Connell, okay, you're playing the Jets. They got a good defense. Pull it back a little. You got a nice size lead, 2 scores. Why don't we just use the clock a little and play a different game? But no, we're the high-flying Minnesota Vikings, and he keeps going. And I tell you, they were fortunate to win the game because of the way they managed it and the way they keep trying to go against, by far, the strength of the New York Jets, which is their defense. So the offense has got to play more into the hands of the defense. And, you know, and I did see him do this a couple times. The Jets ran a couple play actions, and I went, oh, my God, that looks great. It's really, you know, and I know. And, gee, I was just telling everybody this. When you're a quarterback, there's nothing like taking the ball, turning, making the fake to the running back. Boomer was, of course, excellent at making that fake and then coming back up. And the rhythm of the drop, the play action fake, and you know what it's going to do to the defense, and you just feel so confident, it works. And man, the Jets, I don't know how many play action passes they run as a number, but I know this, it's very few. And once they do it, I just don't understand why they don't go, that looked pretty good, let's do some more of that. And maybe they'll do that now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that leads me into the next question. If this is the offense and Aaron Rodgers wants to run, this is the offense that he ran with Nathaniel Hackett when he won 2 MVPs, how much is he going to be willing to change things enough to be able to have a more 2024 offense. I mean, it seems to me that the man is very, very stubborn, and he's just going to be like, well, we just need to play better. It's not the scheme. It's just we need to play better, block better, all of that stuff. Do you really think they're going to change that much schematically with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
No, they're not going to change a great deal, but he, man, come on, he's a smart guy. We know that. You got to look at what's going on and going, it could be better to try to manage the game. And I gave him a lot of credit. A couple weeks ago, I'm in here going, hey, this looks pretty good. But you can't micromanage an offense in the NFL. You got to let it go. If you want to be great, you can't be timid, right? So you got to take chances. You got to change what you do. And like I said, you got to make the other side think. And when you don't, when you just give them free rein where they're just going to blitz and have free guys running at your quarterback and he doesn't even see some of them, he's getting hit in the back, which, you know, that's another thing. If you got control of the offense, how can you let free runners come and hit you? And he's got crushed in the back two times in the last couple of weeks. And they could have been hits that ended his year. So he was fortunate to come out of those. And they're going to change some, but everybody can't wait to see it. You know, this, what is it, Monday night?
Monday night at home against Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see that. And look, what do you think Buffalo's going to do? They're going to blitz. I'm watching them play Houston, and they're going after C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud is, man, of course, it worked out for him, but they had him on the ropes at time too. So, hey, it's really interesting, but I understand the fact that desperation, everything about what they've done, they want this to work, and so they made the move. Was it early for me? Yes. But final say.
Hey, to me, I think they could have won the last two games. They didn't win. They're playing for first place in the AFC East. It's a huge game Monday. Right. You got an extra day to prepare. You know, you clean out Rob's office and you move on. Now, let's just go to another pressure point that I thought last week was going to determine, you know, obviously the criticism that was going to be coming their way, and that was, of course, Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones, and they didn't have Malik Nabers, and they go out to Seattle, and they play a whale of a football game. They come up with a huge special teams play at the end of the game, coaching, preparedness, right. All of that stuff was great. It was on, you know, it was on display right there for the Giants, the way that they executed that play. So, you know, this was a week now where I think you could take a big, deep breath if you are a Giants fan and you're playing against a team who, oddly enough's quarterback is completing 70% of his passes, throwing 12 touchdowns and only two interceptions, and they're 1-4, the Bengals, on Sunday night at MetLife. Your take on the Giants, what they looked like last week, and what do they got to deal with this week?
Okay, well, the Giant offense, I've noticed this. That I've talked about it in my podcast, which I know you don't listen, but that's okay. But Brian Daboll, when you watch what he has done game by game, it keeps getting better. It keeps getting more, camouflage to it. It's making it harder for defenses. What's coming next?
Creative.
And, you know, he's
creative.
It's very creative. Yeah, I was looking for a better word than that. But so that's a big thing. And the other, there's many things. And I think he's done a great job of getting Daniel Jones into the game. Easy throws to start out. That's one thing. And what's the other thing he seems to be doing every week? He's going to run Daniel Jones early, have a running play set up just for him. And he runs it in there, gets hit. And, this is true. You know it as a quarterback, and I do. There's nothing like having a play that has a little success. You take a hit, and you a positive play, and you go, I'm ready, man. I'm into the game now.
Well, that's what he did with Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Josh Allen.
Absolutely.
And Brian Daboll told me and Gio straight up, he goes, yeah, but Josh Allen used to say, call a run. I need to get hit. So
there you go.
Maybe that's something. They also found something with this Tyrone Tracy at running back.
Well, I saw him at training camp. I was down there quite a few days, and I watched him, and I went, okay, I don't know. I'm a kind of negative Nancy there sometimes. I'm watching. But when he gets on the field, what I've noticed about him, of course, he's a big dude. I love that fact. You know, I think every team needs that big power runner. But he was faster and more elusive than I expected. I mean, he looked fast on TV to me. I don't know how it looked to you guys. But also, they got the tight end involved, Theo Johnson. And that's going to open it up because they do like to run a lot of play action passes. And to me, play action passes help the tight end as much as anybody. So, and all the rookies. How about Two things. The offensive line, every snap this year together, that's one thing. And then all the rookies they drafted are kind of coming through. I mean, every one. And so that's got to make them feel great. And I think on the other side, wow, just for this, the Giant defense, you're going up against a guy. Boomer, I've watched Joe Burrow a lot this year, just about every play. He's kind of the guy that sits up there and plays golf, and he swings at it, and it's so smooth and so easy. And you go, well, that probably – it went 350? Holy – I mean, he's that guy. And just dead-eye accurate, has power in the throws, moves, just manages everything. This is going to be a really tough, you know, tough assignment for the New York Giants. And Ja'Marr Chase, to me, there's no argument. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I've been watching this year, and every year I've watched him. I mean, he has everything. Size, speed, he's a slick route runner, he's aggressive. He's everything a quarterback would love.
Phil, we're going to be doing this game together, me, you, Boomer, and Jerry, on the 20th. I'll be down on the sideline, so just throw to me once at the beginning of the game, and I'll just stand there the rest of the game. I think that'll be perfect for me.
No. You know, we got to bring you in because, listen, I'm being serious. I do like your take on things. In other words, you see it differently than Boomer and I will, for sure. And so, you know, it'll be good. Maybe we'll agree with you some, but if you say something we don't agree with, well,
rip
you might hear a few things from both of us.
Oh, yeah. Man, if you say something stupid, we're just going to rip your
rip
ass.
Rip me! It'll be great. That'll be up for
exactly.
Compass. All right, Phil, it's great talking to you, man. We will talk to you next week, and all the best.
All right, last, I got to get one more word in.
Yeah.
The Jets, the emotion, the stadium, you're playing the Bills, they're in disarray, it's almost real. I mean, the offense was awful. Josh Allen had the worst game of his career. It's real. It's not just stats. He threw it terrible, made some bad decisions. It was a terrible game for the Buffalo offense. So this will be really interesting, and it's probably a good situation for the Jets.
Yeah, plus he got beat up pretty good real quickly.
Yeah.
Davante Adams is going to be a
Raider.
Raider. You'd think he stays with the Raiders. I don't see it, yeah, but we'll see.
He's got a hamstring. We're going to trade for him, give up draft picks. I mean, I don't know. I think
yeah,
I thought
really,
that was
does
sure
he
to
really
the Jets.
Have a hamstring, or is he making a business decision, as
I don't
Antonio,
know.
Antonio Pierce alluded to?
I'm not as sure as everybody else that he's coming to the Jets. I just don't know. The Jets, the receiving core is fine. It's not their fault. Okay, I'll just say that.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too. The right. Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry in here. He's got more great fun Mets audio for us and more. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So the Citi Field crowd in a bit of a frenzy early on when Pete Alonso goes opposite field to right for a home run. Well, how about when Jesse Winker, after hitting a line shot to the wall that was caught by Nick Castellanos, comes up his second time around?
2-1. Winker hits a high drive, right field, toward the pole. It is gone! Second deck shot, Jesse Winker. 2-0 Mets in the fourth.
That was Keith. I love him standing there and watching it, which was awesome. Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio made it 2-0 at the time. Mets would go on and beat Philadelphia 7-2. Big hits from Marte, Iglesias, and Lindor. Here was Winker first on Mets Odyssey Radio. 2-1 series lead. The victory here. How big is all this?
It's huge. It's huge. Our pitching staff's been unbelievable. They've carried us. We got another stud going tomorrow in Q. Can't wait. So let's get it.
Q is Quintana. Manaea last night was really good. As for that other home run we talked about with Alonso going to right field, How are you able to do that? He only had four opposite field home runs all season. Now he's got his last few have been to right.
It's just staying within myself, staying within my approach, and just making good contact with the baseball. It's pretty simple. Obviously, easier said than done. But I'm happy to come through for the team.
And that was on SNY. As for Jose Iglesias, his big 2-run single in the seventh, he says, "We simply didn't waste any chances." This also on Mets Odyssey Radio.
We never give up. We fight every single pitch. We stick together as a group. And it shows off on the field.
Yeah, as they're winning games here. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Now we turn our attention to Minaya, who was outstanding. 7-plus innings, went out for the eighth, gave up a leadoff single, and then was pulled. 3-hit ball for Minaya. Here was his manager. Really good all night, but how about that inning where he got Bryce Harper specifically, he's talking about on the strikeout?
After he got Harper, man, I was like, this is his game. A little bit of cushion there with 2 runs. But, yeah, I thought the key overall today was attack the hitters and staying on the attack. And what an amazing job for
nice
him today.
Nice to not see them pitch around him all night, too.
Throw first ball, yes. First pitch strikes.
It was unbelievable.
And hopefully Q will do that tonight.
We shall see.
Q has been good. They have all been good, actually, which is a credit to David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza and putting this team together and getting their game in order right at the right time.
And Q will face Ranger Suarez. First pitch, Mets Odyssey Radio at 5:08 p.m. The Padres beat the Dodgers 6-5. Fernando Tatis, a second-inning 2-run homer, which capped a 6-run second inning. So the Padres up 2-1 on Los Angeles. Dylan Cease starts tonight in Game 4 as they can wrap it up. L.A. will likely use a bullpen game. You got in the American League, the Tigers and the Guardians at 3. Then the Yankees and Kansas City at 7. Here's Derek Jeter on FS1. Maybe it's good the Yankees aren't playing at the stadium.
Make no mistake about it. Yankees are supposed to win this series. Mm. Everyone is expecting, especially everyone in that organization, is expecting the Yankees to win the series. They may need a change of scenery.
And then he went on to talk about the pressure and the comments and the critics. And
wow. I mean, I thought like playing Yankee Stadium was like the greatest thing.
I think they
got
to get out of their own head, is what he's saying.
I had a similar thing. I referenced yesterday how you were talking about Deshaun Watson needing to get away from Cleveland. I said, I kind of feel like a little bit of that's going on with the Yankees right now because of the tenseness of everything.
Maybe Derek heard you say that.
No, probably not. I mean, I think he knows better than me about playing at Yankee Stadium. He just sort of feels the same type of thing.
I understand. There's all that pressure, and when you don't come through, it's an anxiety level that you can feel as players. And I've said this often about playing in front of your home fans who are not certain about what you're going to do, or they have high expectations, you don't live up to them, and something happens negatively, you feel it. Even Aaron Rodgers has spoken about that the last couple of weeks. So last night, however, was the complete opposite of that, because the Mets had been gone for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we need to get home in front of our own fans and feel that energy, which obviously they did yesterday.
You know, a wise man once said, and I've never forgotten this, I've put it away in the memory bank, pressure is a privilege.
That's true.
So we'll see if they take that privilege and run with it in Kansas City tonight. Now, you guys have talked about Rob Saleh all morning long. Jeff Ulbrich takes over on an interim basis with Saleh out. Some more reaction. Adam Schein seeing the news.
Some major breaking news today in the world of sports. Robert Saleh out. Fired.
Mike Francesa on his Francesa podcast. This is Saleh's mess.
I heard someone say today, well, Saleh had nothing to do with the offense. What do you mean he had nothing to do with the offense? He's the head coach. He has something to do with everything that has to do with the football team.
Yes, he does. And so you can blame the coach, or as Chris Russo on SiriusXM would say, how about we blame the GM? Not sure exactly for who, if you listen closely.
Douglas has to take some of the hits here. I know he's done a good job overall at the draft. I get that. Nobody's going to argue. You know, he's got two big-time players there that are hit picks, Wilson and Minshew, and there's others.
Who?
Minshew.
Who?
Minshew?
What?
Yeah. Wilson
and
Minshew.
What are they talking about?
What's that?
What?
Gardner Minshew?
Can you just play the beginning of that again? Because I don't even... all I hear is...
Douglas has to take some of the hits.
What is that?
I know he's done
Douglas
a good job overall at the draft.
Douglas
has to take some of the hits here. I know he's done a good job overall at the draft. I get that. Nobody's going to argue. You know, he's got two big-time players there that are hit picks, Wilson and Minshew, and there's others.
Wilson and Minshew?
Yeah, he's the emergency third quarterback when he's not with the Raiders. I think he means Sauce Gardner.
How could you get Minshew and
Gardner? I don't know. I'm just telling you. Well, Gardner,
a couple
Minshew.
Of big picks there. Wilson and Fran Tarkenton.
And you know he's done well there. I know he's done well. A couple of nice pictures. Elijah Vera Tucker. Warren Moon.
I mean, what is, like, where did he get
is
that
he
from?
On the gummies?
I don't know. He screwed up the gardeners.
This is a serious question. Think about this. What is a more bizarre mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Dog calling Sauce Gardner Minshew.
Right.
Or Mike calling Matt McGloin McClutherness.
I think Russo's mistake is worse, because I think Mike just forgot the name and made up a name. It started with an M.
That word has never been said ever before or ever again.
Right, but names could be goofy.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think it's actually Mike, because Dog is known for his brain getting jumbled and all sorts of stuff. Where Mike, those letters had never been put together in the English language until then.
McLaughlin's.
McLaughlin's.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
McLaughlin's. McLaughlin's.
McLaughlin's.
McLaughlin's.
All I know is Funhouse couldn't wait to put the Russo video out
Minshew.
There.
Where's
he kidding? Oh, Gardner Sauce.
That's what I said.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Gardner Minshew Sauce Gardner.
Right. Okay.
That was the whole thing.
That's all right. Now I got it.
And I got a couple more for you. This is I'm trying to end with some fun stuff.
Yeah.
So
you're a fun guy.
This is in tennis. I have no idea who he's playing, where it is. Doesn't matter. Francis Tiafoe is playing in a match, and he...
Where is this now?
No idea. Doesn't matter. So clearly he's taking his time, and the chair umpire calls a violation on him.
Time violation, loss of serve, Mr. Tiafoe.
I toss the ball. No, I toss the ball. I toss the ball. No, I toss the ball. Oh, at the line, I toss the ball. I toss the ball, ready to serve.
I'm not buying this. It's a second serve now, okay?
I toss the ball, ready to serve.
Second serve.
Dude, that's the rule. The ball goes up. How am I not ready to serve?
Second serve.
Okay, so
let me use the microphone. Second serve.
The chair is not having it.
This is the Rolex Shanghai Masters.
Great. So he goes on to lose a close match. You know, at the end, they come to the net, they shake hands, and they go to the umpire. They shake hands, even if you're not happy with the umpire. He wasn't having any of it.
F*** you, man. F*** you. Seriously, man. F*** you. You f***ed me this
f***ing match. Whoa! Jesus! was aggressive.
He did apologize on social media.
Excuse me? did I hear that correctly? Play that again.
F*** you, man. F*** you. Seriously, man. F*** you. You f***ed me this
f***ing man. I mean, that was wild. So, yeah. That
seriously, was man.
Crazy.
F you.
Yeah, I mean, he was not happy.
So, Pinagrote is the umpire's name.
Pinagrote. Well,
Pinagrote
had a tough night with, but again, not that it matters. He did a long apology on social media. I think he realized that was way over the top. The Rangers open their season tonight in Pittsburgh against the Penguins, and the Utah Hockey Club beat the Blackhawks 5-2.
Yes, they did.
City
opening night.
And the Connecticut Sun did lose to the Lynx, so we're not going to get a local WNBA finals. It'll be
the Lynx.
The Liberty and the Lynx. I forgot who the other two.
Right, right.
The Liberty and the Lynx.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, we got a lot of things going on today. We got the Yankees tonight. We got the Mets this afternoon. We got, of course, the Jets and Giants in primetime this coming weekend. And the Jets just made a coaching change. And there's a lot of reasons why these changes take place. Now, yesterday, my former assistant, Natalie, received a voicemail.
Okay.
From an old friend of mine, maybe a guy that has called in here a couple times and felt like he needed to get something off of his chest in regards to the Jets. And he wanted me to give the message to the Jets. And I don't really want to do that.
I mean, you don't even remember who this guy is, really.
Well, he says his first name. It's one of two guys that I think it is.
Okay.
I can't tell by the voice, which is really weird. So he sent the voicemail, and then, of course, Natalie sent it to Allie.
Right.
Allie gave it to me.
Got it.
And I listened to it this morning, and I felt like I want to get it out because it sounds important to me, and I think maybe the coaching staff could use it.
Right, you don't want to go over and contact anybody from the Jets right now. It's a tough time. You got to leave them alone. But if you put it out there on the air, maybe someone from the Jets will hear
listening.
This.
Maybe somebody's listening. Right. Maybe Eric Gelfand's listening.
Maybe.
Right, yeah. So I'm going to play the voicemail, and hopefully this sounds good over the microphone. I think it will be. So here we go.
Natalie, this is Bill. I used to speak to Boomer all the time. I'm having trouble getting through. Can you give him a message, please, and tell him to tell the Jets that their offensive line splits are way too far apart? They should be closer together. Their shoes should be touching each other's shoes to make the line tighter. They're too far apart. Thank you.
All right.
I wonder why he was having a tough time getting through.
I don't know. I don't know if he meant getting through Al, or I'm not really sure.
I probably would have put that through if he said.
Oh, really? Boomer, you would have. Yeah, but I just want through. Bill out there. Hopefully he's listening.
We got it out there.
That I got your voicemail, and the Jets just heard your recommendation.
Yep, right. Splits is a big thing.
You were an offensive lineman.
Absolutely. Splits was a huge thing.
What was your split distance?
Well, I mean, so if you were just like 1 foot, really, like one width of a foot. You know what I'm saying? Not
back,
one
this
foot.
This is what Belport did.
Right, like a width of a foot.
This is a thing.
And then, like, you know, if you're the guard, which I was, you'd be off the back heel of the center.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd just be like the width of 1 foot next to a... You know, get your hands in the dirt and let's go. We were actually 4-point stance guys.
Right. Did you have a end zone copy of the tape, or did you only watch your all 22 film? Do you remember?
Just from the up top. That was
Have the end. So we had both.
Okay.
Because Sal was like all over the linemen about their splits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little thing in the nuance in football, and Bill recognized that.
Certainly.
And sometimes there is something to be said about that.
Yeah, indeed.
So. I remember the great Dallas Cowboy teams of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how big Larry Allen and those huge, big offensive linemen, Nate Newton, those big offensive linemen? I remember I tried to measure them from their end zone film. From left ass of left tackle to right ass of right tackle.
Mm.
And I swear to God, it was the widest set of asses I'd ever seen on a football field.
Oh, by the way, I'm getting a text from one of my high school football coaches. 6-inch splits.
6-inch splits now.
Yeah. 6-inch splits. Which I guess is, I mean...
That's a foot more than a foot
and
a half.
I guess. 6-inch splits, yeah. All right. So I was wrong.
Maybe Bill has something. Maybe there's something here. So you never know. Bill could be an old football coach.
Yeah.
And,
you're referencing splits. Generally, you know the game a little bit, right?
Yeah, you're looking at things differently than most other people are.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny is the Jets offensive line somehow, like the Giants fan loves to blame the offensive line for everything. The Jet fan is not blaming their offensive line for any of this. Where I think that it's a big problem. Like, Breece Hall has not been himself because there's no holes, there's nothing. Aaron Rodgers getting the crap kicked out of him, but it's Nate Hackett, it's Aaron Rodgers is old, it's Rob Saleh doesn't know what he's doing, it's Garrett Wilson, they're not on the same page. Nobody said a thing about the offensive line. If this were the Giants, it'd be like, the offensive line stinks, what are you supposed to do? Get it to win, if you got any time, give Daniel Jones time, the guy's going to turn into Patrick Mahomes, it's just you watch. What is it about that?
But Bill's got it. Bill's on the offensive line of the Jets.
He's the only one.
But I will say this, that the lack of creativity with their offense is the thing that bothers me. And the fact that they can get duped or confused by opposing defenses doing what they're doing to them with a 40-year-old quarterback that's seen just about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the Van Ginkle play, and again, like Phil was talking about it, I've been talking about it, that when you really don't do much formation-wise, quickness-wise, and maybe they play better when they were doing their no-huddle offense, by the way, which does help because you can go faster, you can kind of get into a rhythm, and I love doing that, especially with a guy like Aaron. But when you get duped by some of these plays, that means the opposing defense knows what you're doing, and then they are taking liberties by making plays like this or blitzing you know, on a fourth down play, and nobody's picking up the blitzing safety.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things going on. I think the lack of creativity is a big part of it, but also let's not forget that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's made some bad throws, and he's also getting beat up. Like these are things that, like, no one really wants to. There's been a, like, I heard Evan say it, but I feel like everybody's just waiting and looking to point the finger at everything but Aaron Rodgers, because the second that you start saying that Aaron Rodgers is done is essentially saying that this team is done and that this era is over.
Well, all I can tell you is right now, whether he likes it or not, whether it's accurate or not, this, you know, people are going to feel as if he was the one who ran the coach out of the building.
Right, exactly. So last week on
the especially if the coach reportedly wanted to change play callers and demote Nathaniel Hackett from offensive coordinator.
Exactly.
That just leads you to believe that, you know, the reason that Aaron Rodgers came here in the first place was because the Johnson family and because of Joe Douglas taking Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator.